Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so truly happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So, a little background on the podcast. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. My mission is to expand that quote-unquote societal definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their talents that come in so many different forms. So I've created this space so that I can get to talk to people that have all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and we get to have a conversation about their experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation and we see where it goes from there. So I have had the honor to have spoken to entrepreneurs as young as 13, handwriting specialist, biologist, personal organizer, doctor, lawyer, and so many more. And the idea is that by sharing their stories, we get to explore the space of expressing yourself, giving yourself permission to take time for your interests and explore possibilities. And by doing all of this and incorporating it into your world daily, I promise you will feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So, let me introduce my inspiring guest for today is
Melissa Shepherd Williams. Melissa serves as a clinician at the California Institute of the Arts. She as an adjunct faculty in the School of Cultural and Family Psychology at Pacific Oaks, and she's in private practice. Her book titled Living Deliciously, Recipes to Welcome Joy into Our Lives, is a compilation of her newsletters, including exercises and reflections on how to squeeze the juice out of life. Melissa, welcome to the space.
Picked up on the bio. So here we go. So why don't you tell us a little bit more? Let's expand. I'll give you a chance to expand on your bio here before we dive in. So tell us more about who you are.
Well, I am from Panama, and I've been living here in the U.S. now 35 years of my life. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe how quickly that goes, but it's been quite an interesting journey. And I think of both L.A. and Panama as home in two very different ways, but definitely mm-hmm. home. Mm-hmm. And as you were sharing a moment ago, the work that I do is in psychotherapy. So my creative juices get to flow there and also in teaching. Mm-hmm. And I love it. I love it. I'm thankful for it.
I cannot wait to dive in and get your perspective on I know that I have a feeling that as we're talking is where everything's going to kind of flow and come out. We'll get to find out even more of what you do. So let's start with the would you rather question first, and then we'll dive into the first question.
Okay.
So Melissa, would you rather be invisible or be able to fly?
Ha. Huh. Oh my. I would say able to fly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why? Just curious.
Huh. I would say able to fly because I really am thankful for the power of perspective.
Ooh.
You know, pausing to catch perspective. Yeah.
That's powerful.
That will be my reason.
Yeah, that would definitely give perspective. Mm-hmm. To be able to have that bird's eye view.
Yes, yes.
And be able to, I'm just curious, have you ever done bungee jumping or anything?
Not this girl. No. No, it's not something that I really even picture myself doing.
Me neither. How about jumping out of a plane?
No.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh no, no, no. So I guess my version of flying is gonna be pretty different.
Well, it's funny because as I kind of think of which questions to ask, I ask myself the same question. And I'm like, well, which would I rather do? Mm-hmm. And part of me said invisible first. And then the second part was like, you know what? It would scare me to fly. So that might be a choice to kind of like face a fear in order to do that, because it would most probably be really amazing once you're up there. It's just the thought, like being in, like in my head of actually doing it, which scares me to death.
I know. My husband has this vision of himself now that he's retired, hang gliding. I don't know if I'll join. But I definitely like the idea of catching a view that's panoramic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful itself in those words. Catching idea, it's panoramic.
Yes.
So, okay, so this is going to be good. Let's dive in. So Melissa, how do you define creativity?
Oh my, I was reflecting on this, Hollis, and there's so many things that come to mind. And I realized that the first thing that came for me, I think of it as an impulse, you know, that creativity is an impulse just by virtue of existing, that it's an impulse. And that it can show up in so many different ways. I feel that we in some kind of innate way want to experience transformation, to provoke transformation, and so, you know, when we're little, as children, you know, curiosity supports that. That's how we learn about the world.
Oh, I just lost you. Melissa? I just lost you. I'm hoping it's not me. Trudy, can you still hear me? Because Melissa was saying such good stuff. So Trudy, let me know if you can hear me. Okay. Thank you.
Can you hear me now? Uh-oh.
There you are.
Oh.
Where'd you go?
I don't know what happened.
You became invisible. Did somebody call you?
Oh, yes. You know what? A line came in.
Because that's what happens.
I see.
That can happen. But you ended with where we stopped of me being able to hear you was when you said curiosity is children.
Oh, yes. I was talking about this curiosity that we have as children that really is the thing that helps us to learn about the world around us and inside, you know, what's happening inside. I feel that that's part of that innate creativity, this thing that moves us. And then as adults, that same curiosity is moving us also. And that's, to me, essential to our creativity. Mm-hmm.
I love the words that I kind of circled that really stood out was the word impulse, curiosity, inside, outside, and moves us.
Mm.
And also provoke.
Mm. Yeah. I think about us provoking transformation, you know, by just being moved by this creative impulse. You know, people so frequently talk about creativity only in terms of visual arts or performance arts. And I am learning to see it as just being human. I mean, when we run into an emergency, creativity comes to the rescue. When we are having pessimistic thoughts, that's creative, just not life affirming, but definitely creative.
I really would love to hear what your thoughts are about it being a psychotherapist within an art school.
Yes, it's been
Like,
quite an interesting experience.
yeah, because I would really love to hear, because the whole point, the whole mission behind what I'm doing is, I have the whole 30 years experience as an art teacher, went to art school, blah, 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 all that stuff. But what I really found was my mission throughout has always been to empower people to understand that it goes beyond the pencil and the paintbrush, that creativity is the formation, the definition, the formal definition is the formation of an idea or an object. And we do this all the time. So breaking this societal definition of, how we put everybody into these containers with labels, is why I'm talking to people who do all different kinds of things. So I would love to hear, again, like a little bit deeper, your perspective as a psychotherapist. I mean, it really using these words, I mean, transformation, that's a really big word in what you do, isn't it?
It is. It is. I stand with you in how you perceive creativity. It's something that we're engaged in every day, all day, even when we don't realize that we are. In the way that we move, in the way that we interpret the world around us and inside of us, it's happening. And I feel that having the opportunity to work with artists every day has really stretched my own creativity. Because as we're in conversation or in some activity together, I get invited to learn about the language of their art making and how it shows up when they talk about other aspects of their lives. It's really amazing. I think it's rich. So I feel stretched, and I love it. I love it. And talking about transformation, yesterday we celebrated graduation, the second virtual one. Who
Oh
knew?
wow. Oh wow. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
the amount of ways in which they have adapted to this virtual experience of being in theater school, dance school, animation, all these different things that they had the opportunity to immerse themselves in, in person, on campus, but not being able to do it for a year. And that they found ways, and that's a key word, found ways to still do what they love, the thing that excites them, but in a new context. That's I see as the power of creativity.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that's so powerful. Stretching, adaptation, finding ways to still do what you love to do and put it within a new context. It's all of this problem solving that we do within everything. We're constantly problem solving.
Constantly, constantly. I'm hearing you say that, and I'm reminded of a time I got together with a group of parents, because being part of an organization called the Archery, there's all kinds of workshops for children. And on this particular day, I was meeting with the parents of all the children that were in the different workshops happening. And we talked about their own creativity, that they may see their kids participating in all these painting workshops and things like that and not see themselves also as creative. And I said, when you have an emergency at home or at work and you notice a different approach to a situation so that you can solve it, that's creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, and that conversation, we had it so that we could invite the parents to stretch their ideas about creativity so they could support their children in their discovery process, you know?
Yeah.
It was really fun. I loved it. I am so glad we had that chat.
Well, I think it's so important. I mean, when I made the decision to leave the classroom, I just felt called to be working more with parents.
Mm-hmm.
Adults, I should say, just adults in general, because we get so caught up in life, we get so caught up in adulting and responsibility mm-hmm. that we forget that we become disconnected with what, like you said, excites us.
Yes.
And we put everything on a back burner because mm-hmm. we have to be logical and, you know, it's real stuff. We have to right. pay the mortgage, pay the rent. We have to, you know, get food in the house. We need to make meals for ourselves or, you know, all of these day-to-day daily responsibilities or tasks.
Yes.
But we get so caught up in the monotony of it that mm-hmm. it often isn't fun anymore because we're not fueling ourselves with what excites us.
Yes. Drudgery. It's dreadful. Oh my yes. gosh. And you know, I heard you say disconnection and to me, that's one key ingredient to look at, because when we are disconnected, creativity is calling. It's calling. We need to find ways to reconnect with ourselves.
Yeah.
So that we can, you know, move from a place of aliveness.
Yes. Yes, because it's so perfect. Like in the title that I called our podcast here is that we're exploring how to live life deliciously.
Yes.
From the yes. title of your book, you know, yes. living, like, tell us about that. Tell us about some of your perspectives from this.
Well, I'm thinking about living deliciously as an expression of reconnecting with your enthusiasm, you know, and creativity is definitely part of that process of reconnecting with enthusiasm, being feeling vibrant, feeling vital. And so to me, that's delicious. Mm-hmm. That's deliciousness. You know, am I doing what I love? Am I giving of myself richly? You know, do I feel purposeful? Do I feel connected to myself and the people in you know, the environments, the communities I belong to. To me, mm-hmm. that's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah. Just listening. And especially as you're saying it, you're just saying it, I mean, with such intention. Mm. And it's powerful because the way that you're saying it's, do I feel purposeful? Mm-hmm. Do I feel connected within my communities? Am I living richly?
Am I living or just merely existing here, moving robotically through life? No.
Yeah.
So deliciously is a different experience. It's like you said, more intentional. Mm-hmm. Connected. And you know, earlier we were talking about children, you know, until we learn to be fearful about certain things, we're so free. As children, you know, you ask a child, what would you like to do when you grow up? And they tell you like a dozen things. They're not mm-hmm. thinking that it's 24 hours in a day. You know, they're just excited.
Right.
They're playful. They're connected to our sense of imagination. You
Yeah.
know, and so it's when we experience and accumulate fears, that interferes with the kind of creativity that's life affirming. That's, you know, that moves us forward, that makes us, helps us to feel well. You know?
Yeah, it doesn't feel delicious.
No, 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 no.
When you're living in fear and when you're living in all those things of, well, how am I going to do that? And what if this happens? And what if they don't like me? And what if I screw up? What if I fail miserably? And all this money that I put into it was lost. And what if I look like a fool? And like all these things. And that's just it's paralyzing.
Yes, I mean it's the yes but existence.
Yes. Nothing good comes after the but.
Nope. You know, and you know that's not to say that. One has to expect to eliminate fears. They're part of our human experience. Yet there's the possibility of cultivating other ways of being that move us forward, even if fear wants to come for the walk.
Yes.
You know, what other forces are out there? Fear is not the only one in town.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so beautiful. Even if fear wants to come for the walk.
Come with me. You want to come? Okay. Well, you're not the only one coming.
Yeah. Because, I mean, don't you think a lot of times fear also can be a good inspiration? You know?
Well, here's what I'm wondering about, and it's open for stretching. I'm getting the impression that fear actually has good intentions, just poorly informed about how to protect us. Very poorly informed. When we practice pausing, take a step back, catch a big picture. I feel this is why I'm compelled to the panoramic view that we mentioned with the flying. You know, we get to see more of a story, more than what fear can see. And so we make choices that are better and more informed. You know, and you know, sometimes we come to the same conclusion about what to do and how to do it, but we arrive at it more calmly. Fear is agitating.
Ah, yes. Yeah. So true, not agitated. And I was thinking with what you do, I mean, have you always been a good listener, or is it something that you needed to practice at?
I feel that it's something I've needed to practice, and I'm still working on that. And I see it as something that's lifelong. You know, I'm just hoping to listen more deeply, not only to others, but myself, for sure, because, you know, that's, I feel the way to take action, with more clarity.
Yeah. I think in general, I like what you said, about the pausing. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a really nice way to describe fear also. And then we'll kind of like leave that word, not to focus on it for so long, but that it's just saying that it's poorly informed and it creates an agitated feeling. Whereas yeah. it's true. It's like taking that breath. It's when we get into that frenzied state of like, honestly, today. And I kind of got a little caught up in it, just a little side, you know, personal story. We were returning some dresses and for my daughter, and I tried to be organized and hand the receipt to her prior. And then it got lost. Ooh. It got lost. Yeah. So we get there and they're like, well, we can't give you the money back. We can put it on a card. I'm like, I don't want it on a card. I want my money back. kind of thing. So then I got caught up in the feeling of like, it wasn't fear, but it was annoyance. I was just like, where's that? Mm-hmm. Where's that receipt? And lately I've been pretty calm about stuff, but this got to me for some reason. And it became kind of like a big thing. And then she got upset. And I was like, okay, we got home. We kind of took a step back. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let's just breathe. I said, I'm just going to call and I'm going to tell them what happened. I'm going to talk to a supervisor. Mm-hmm. And long story short, they gave us our money back. They gave us, then we were smiling and my daughter's smiling because she was so upset. She felt so bad. And we were just caught up in the emotion. And that's why I'm bringing it up, is we were caught up in the emotion of it instead of being like, okay, just calm down. This isn't like life threatening. It's annoying, but it's not life threatening.
Right. But it's such a human thing. You know, when we're agitated, my goodness. I mean, it's all or nothing thinking, all or nothing talking, doomsday.
But it really does affect our connection to ourselves and to each other, because then it changed the whole way. My daughter and I were having a great day before that. Like with the conversation was flowing, we're singing to music, like, and then all of a sudden it stopped.
Yeah.
Because we were stuck.
You're swinging at first, and next thing you know, this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
And, you know, and these things happen. I mean, it's our humanness. We're gonna have these waves, when you least expect it, something can be very agitating, and it just means we're human, so... let's practice pausing. Catch the big picture.
Practice pausing. So, and Trudy said, Trudy's here with us live. She said, fear is a good indicator that something is wrong. Yes, take a breath before the feeling takes over.
Yes. I mean, I'm with you, Trudy. We are equipped to be in survival mode. And so fear is the alarm. Like, oh, Wait. What do I need to do?
Yeah.
On that note, may I put in a quick commercial?
Of course, please. Please. Commercial break.
There's something else that comes up for me when I think of creativity, other than this innate impulse that moves us, and curiosity and all these things about curiosity and learning, and joyfulness. I know that I mentioned creativity even in negative thinking. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's helpful, but certainly creative. There's another situation that I think of quite a bit, and I have, especially in this pandemic, as it relates to creativity and pain. Mm-hmm. That experience of survival, being in survival mode because of fear, like Trudy brought up, how fear is an indicator that something is amiss. When I think of communities that have been oppressed for generations, and they only experience life in survival mode. Survival mode takes a lot of creativity to stay afloat.
Tell me what you mean by that.
You know, when you are constantly on guard, because the part of you that's most active is the part of you that's informed by fear, then whatever you do is in service of staying alive.
Yeah.
But not necessarily experiencing thriving. Just, you know, I'm here. I'm still here. You're just surviving. You know, so that's something that comes up for me as well when I think of creativity. And gosh, for generations, it's been happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of like processing it in my head, because I love, because you're going to so much of a deeper level, which I love. Like, this is a really, it's a great place to explore and a great topic. Like you said, creativity and negative thinking. Like kind of going back to that it's not the best place to feel, but I guess, where would you say, what does that creativity look like in that negative thinking?
Well, I'm thinking about when, for example, you don't know the answer to something and you fill in the blank with the most negative scenario. You create detailed scenarios. Detailed scenarios, and then people frequently use this phrase, I spiraled, and as a result of, you know, those thoughts, those scenarios being created, and then they're agitating, and then now we have this loop, this loopy thinking. We're taken out of the present moment, just staring at these horrible scenarios that you're imagining are happening or could happen.
I love that, because you're talking about imagination and storytelling. So it's so vivid.
And then an alternative experience is when we invite someone to visualize something that might bring a smile to their face, you know, and like imagine it in lavish detail. And it's as if you're experiencing it right now.
Yeah, as if.
Imagination is so powerful, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, imagination is really everything.
And in therapy, we definitely strive to support someone in reconnecting with their imagination, to come out of a stuck story. What are alternative scenarios to this situation, you know? People because like say possibility thinking.
Possibility thinking. Because we all have stories. But it's like the whole thing of, if you have two people in a room and they're telling it from their perspective, here we go again with kind of like the, I don't know if it's the aerial view, but it's just maybe this is the inner, it's the inner perspective. But you're not going to hear the same story. About the same thing.
So true. And creativity can also support us in growing as we're learning more about something or someone. And so if I'm growing, every time I look to the past, I'm going to see it in a new way. then it's not this static story. It keeps transforming because my eyes are different now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's growing, it's evolving. Yeah, is there anything else that you want to say on the topics of, because they're really great topics to bring up, and I think something like, it's a whole conversation unto itself, creativity and pain, creativity and suppression. Is there anything you want to kind of bring up about that?
Well, what comes to mind is the ways that we may cope with pain that are not necessarily, I'm going to say the word healthy, but it's still coping. And you know, it's helping someone feel like they're surviving pain. It's not something that's life affirming what they're doing, but it's a survival mechanism.
Yeah, my dad was in chronic pain for 16 years, and he used to say, you have to love your pain, because if you don't love it, it'll make you crazy. So it's like kind of having a love affair. It's having a relationship with your pain.
With your pain.
And not being angry at it, not being having all of those negative emotions. Because it'll make you go out of your mind.
You know, I hear you, and I'm thinking of how in this work that we do to support someone in their healing journey, part of the process includes something similar, or at least the way I'm interpreting your dad's words, learning to be with discomfort in a new way. So that we can bring into our life something new. So rather than avoiding feeling our pain, or any other feeling for that matter, learning a new way of being with these, so we can then learn something new. It's kind of like the idea that the more I avoid feeling my feelings, the more intense they are going to become, because they want my attention.
Yes. Oh my gosh, this is, yeah, this is good, deep conversation. It's true. You can't ignore it. I mean, if you act like, oh yeah, that's not over there, I don't see you, then they're like standing, you know, a person could be like jumping over there.
Yeah.
With their hands up saying, hey, I'm here. Yeah. They're like, I don't see you. Oh, you don't exist.
You don't see, yeah, right. Gosh, I wish I could animate Hollis. because, you know, our bodies are always trying to get our attention, especially when we're ignoring what we're feeling.
Yeah.
Creatively so, but ignoring.
Well, it's that movie. I mean, speaking about animation, what was it called with the
Inside Out?
Yeah, Inside Out.
Yes. Inside Out. What a great
excuse me.
Wow. What a great film. I thought it was such a creative way of exploring what happens inside of us.
Yeah, I love the color connection and the way, yeah, it was very descriptive and very real. Yeah, okay. So this is really good. Okay, so let's move on to question two.
Oh, my goodness.
Which is, we've talked about some stuff already, but
oh, gosh.
How do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I would say when I think about the work that I'm involved with, Definitely in designing workshops, in collaborating with friends who are artists, and they bring their art making into the workshop topic so that we're not just talking but also doing other things that, you know, hopefully will help in the reflection process for everyone in the group. Mm-hmm. I think of it also when I meet with my students and trying to find new ways of talking about a topic, you know, different ways of examining the same topic. And now that we have to do it virtually, all the more, I had to meet this as a creative challenge, this pandemic and trying to teach virtually. Yeah. I had to meet it as a creative challenge because, wow, so much that we would prefer to do in person, but this is what we had to use and try to make the most of what is. Same thing in therapy. To do this thing virtually has been a challenge, but, you know, trying to meet it with creativity. Mm-hmm. Using all the Zoom buttons.
That is. That's really funny.
But you know, and then talking about coping, well, gardening has been how I have helped myself through this pandemic, and in many ways that's been helpful. And I feel that's part of where my creative juice lives, my plants. I love being out there with my plants, and it's been soothing.
What kind of garden do you have? Is it like a, I don't know the names for it. Is it more like a free spirited, like this will go here, you know, whatever I'll just plant, or is it kind of thought out or?
Both.
Colorful.
I would say all of the above. Mm-hmm. I have some plants in areas that give them full sun, if that's the kind that they love, and also the plants in areas that can handle a little more of the, you know, lower light. And then the colors, that's been fun. That's been so much fun. I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Well, also creativity in my relationships, because we've had to find new ways to stay in touch.
Mm-hmm. So true.
In the whole quarantine life. Mm-hmm. What else? Playlists. Oh, Hollis, that is one of my lifelines. Creating playlists.
I love that. Yes. Yes.
My husband prescribed, and he called it exactly that. He's like, you need to up your Spotify game.
So did you? I guess you did.
I sure did. We both are really... we're obsessed with music, and so it's been medicine for me. Mm-hmm. And him too, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, well, this is like varied. You incorporate it in so many ways, and I love how you touched on so many amazing things. I totally get the playlist thing, like the music.
You too.
Oh my gosh, yes, yes, totally. Yeah, it's like a lifeline. But music, relationships, I think that's so true. It's crazy. I mean, in-person relationships, I think it's constantly how we communicate with each other, mm-hmm. what we choose to do with each other, all of these, the nurturing and the growing of relationships. I think that was such, I love that you brought that up. the gardening, of course, the Zoom buttons. That is so freaking true. I mean, and
yes,
it's so much. That's a whole like untapped world. Like, who knew that there were all of these things? And they figured they were also, I think, adding things along the way because,
right? I think so. I mean, I did a workshop a few days ago, and you know, how I would love for us to do it in person, but I tried to squeeze the juices out of every Zoom button so that we can have some type of interaction. Oh my goodness.
I think that's the great word though, is interaction. I think that's like a big word of a lot of things that you said here. Interaction, you said collaborating with people in order to, for these workshops that you design, in order for them to have this experiential piece to it.
Yes.
Also meeting with students to find new ways to talk about the same topic. Oh my gosh. I think that is such an important point to underline and underline, because this is where anybody can see this within what they do, within business, within accounting, within all these kind of areas. You have these topics that you're consistently addressing. And instead of droning over the same thing in the same way, there's the creativity and, well, how can I talk about this, but kind of tweak it?
Tweak it. I mean, it's something that was helpful even in pre-pandemic times. It's interesting to use that phrase. But, you know, I felt, I still do, that, you know, when teaching, it's important to keep in mind that everybody in the room has their own style of learning. And so rather than just have this lecture, that's not me. Why don't we watch this film? Why don't we have a theater experience that has to do with this topic? Why don't we include poetry that addresses this topic so that we can process it in different ways?
Yeah.
That's been so helpful. And then, and also they have students bring their own suggestions to us covering the topic. You know, I love when that happens. It's very energizing. I get so much out of that. And so every group offers a new experience. I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to say, I mean, one of the things I was doing these past two semesters was I was being a supervisor for art teachers within the Philadelphia school system at Temple University. And so much of the frustration, and I just felt for them, especially, it was more so the high school student teachers. Everybody had their cameras off and not interacting. And sometimes they'd be utilizing the chat box and giving like one word responses. Sometimes they would unmute themselves and say something, but that whole piece of connection, I mean, that was like, and talk about a challenge, like this was, and we would talk about this consistently, like this is okay. It's incredibly frustrating. You can't see them. You can't connect in this way, but looking at it from the other side, how can you be most effective in your communication? How can you, you know, get your point across in the most simplistic terms while delivering it, you know, at a high level, like these kind of topics we were constantly addressing. And sometimes they found, obviously, the more time, the more students felt comfortable, the more engaged they felt with something, then you might get like a you know, the camera on for a second kind of thing, or sharing. But that's a lot of what they were dealing with. And I just felt a need to bring that up when you were saying students giving suggestions, because it does, it lights you up. Whenever they saw interaction, they were like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah, you feel more a part of it. Definitely, you know, when you're asked to present ideas, you know, that you feel would help you in learning more about a topic. And so it's not just up to the teacher. I think you feel more a part of it, for sure. And, you know, speaking of the cameras off, you know, the Zoom fatigue is real.
It is.
And so for students who've been for hours and hours and hours, on Zoom, I could understand it. And something that we did at the beginning of every class, I would invite them into a brief exercise, and we called it the art of transition, because I used to say, well, even though you're home, there could be so many things going on that are distracting, and that you necessarily didn't get an opportunity to catch your breath before class. And so let's all turn off the camera for a few minutes and you know, do something decompressing and come back in 5 minutes and we'll jump in, you know. Or if we were covering a topic that is very triggering, as one would in a program like that, the equivalent to leaving the room sometimes when we're in person is to turn off your camera. And that's just fine. You know, and just really validating how difficult it is to experience a class on screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It is. It's a lot. It's a whole different kind of energy. It's a lot It's a whole different way to get acclimated.
Oh my goodness, yes. I long for the in-person experience. Some things were fun, have been fun about doing this work on screen, but you know, there's only so much one can tolerate it.
Yeah. Well, this is a perfect time to round up to our third question, which is so much of what we talked about, but so why is creativity important?
I feel that it's like water for soup. It's essential to feeling alive. And if it's the kind of creativity that is connected to what we love, then we can feel like we're connected to our purpose, and we get to the I'm making a difference place. You know, so many people are just sleepwalking through life for all kinds of reasons, including pain and fear that keeps them in survival mode and completely disconnected from themselves and what they could have to offer. So I am all in favor of any and everything that can support someone in healing so that they can get connected to themselves, discover more of themselves, and amplify it. Yes. That's what we're here for. I strongly believe that. And that's the juicy version of creativity.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes to all of it.
Yes.
My cat just lifted his head up like, what?
What's wrong with her?
Why is she yelling? Yes. Yes. And yes, this is the beauty of doing podcasts, you know, within your home with all this going on. just being transparent.
It's the truth. It's
real. It's yeah.
Yes. And now, you know, Hollis, the pandemic really has just, this is my hope. I'm going to say it's my hope. It's my prayer that in so many ways, we're all opening our eyes to things that needed to be seen. I do believe the pandemic put a magnifying lens on all kinds of things. Yeah. And so that a shift can happen. And so it's urgent. It is so urgent that we, you know, just throw ourselves into whatever healing we need to do so that we can use our gifts to the hilt.
Yeah.
To the hilt. Yeah.
So we can get to that point, like you said, of I am making a difference.
Exactly.
That I am making a difference place where it's being of service to thee. That's like what Les Brown, when somebody asked him, how does he get up and talk in front of thousands of people? Mm-hmm. And he said, once he realized that it's not about me, it's about thee.
Yes.
That's when everything changed.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that can dismantle the words of fear, trying to stop us from doing things. When we realize, you know, this doing me is really about us, you know, it moves us forward. It moves us forward. We stop being stuck. You and I have talked about this privately. I have experienced burnout. That's why I've been sharing about what I'm learning about preventing it and healing from it. And the pandemic definitely has burnt people out. Talk about disconnection from the juicy creativity. Mm-hmm. You know, so healing has to happen. We need it. We need it. Otherwise, the pandemic was for naught.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I keep saying is I hope that we don't just all of a sudden go back and forget. Because the earth was, number one, so happy when we were quieter.
Right? Like, oh no, the humans stayed home.
They say there was like, and I know, like you being out in LA, like there was a lot less smog going on out there.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So there true. Was like birds, like it was just, everything was louder. Like nature mm-hmm. was just louder. And I'm just, you know, hoping that mm-hmm. people can, because it's exciting to get back to some sense of quote unquote normalcy, but at the same time, tweak some things, change some things and remember mm-hmm. with that new lens.
Yes.
Kind of approaching with that new lens. So if you can please tell people how they can find you and learn more about you, because we didn't even mention in the things you enjoy doing, you also write. You've written a few books. So yeah, we forgot to talk about that. So please tell people how they can find your books and how they can connect with you.
Well, before I even say any of that, I want to thank you, Hollis, for inviting me to be part of this conversation series. It's been so much fun.
You're so welcome.
It's been so much fun, including jumping into the call.
Maybe I won't edit it out. Maybe I'll keep it there.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny. So, this topic is near and dear to my heart, and I've been writing about it. So you shared the name of the first book, Living Deliciously, Recipes to Welcome Joy into Our Lives. And I also wrote it in Spanish, and it's called Vivir Deliciosamente, Recetas mm-hmm. para Llenar Nuestras Vidas de Entusiasmo. Mm-hmm. And my most recent book is called From Burnout to Bliss. And in Spanish, Jornada del Desgaste a la Felicidad. And I feel like these books are cousins mm-hmm. because they definitely weave into each other. The book about burnout was the one I intended to write first. And Living Deliciously was a happy accident. It's a compilation of newsletters that I would send monthly, and I thought, let me share it as an ebook while I'm still working on gathering more information for this book about burnout. And then it became a printed book, which has more than the ebook, the Deliciously book. And they're all available on Amazon. And it's been an interesting experience, for sure. For sure. My website is melissamshepherd.com. Shepherd as in the dude with the sheep.
You're so funny. I'm gonna put all this information into the bio of the podcast so people will have it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure. I really have enjoyed myself.
I really have. I am so grateful because I know that you're a busy person and I appreciate you taking this hour to talk with us. And I just need to highlight the fact of saying the happy accidents about living deliciously, because I think that's just a perfect point to highlight that you don't always know the how on what it's, how it's going to turn out.
Right.
So what your intention was for, oh, this will just be an ebook and, oh, but I'm going to do this other, I'm going to do, you know, the burnout book first. This one was meant to be first and we just don't always know and we can't get freaked out about all of it.
Right. Just go with the flow. And on that note, for sure, I mean, when we are so much more connected to ourselves, we are living in the flow, in the flow of the creative zone. I pray that we hook on to that.
Yeah. So listeners, just, I want you to think about it. Like how, just be aware and notice how you're reacting to things. Are you reacting from a fear space and letting that take you over and stop you and creating, using your imagination, that's creating all these scenarios that don't necessarily feel great? Mm-hmm. Or are you feeling it because it's a human emotion, one of our many emotions, but just kind of, we've talked about fear a lot in this, is we recognize it and say, okay, there's something called the terror barrier, which is that wall that comes up where you get scared, where you get fearful, and are you going to run away from it? Are you going to break through it? Or are you going to jump over it?
Mm.
Like, what are you going to do? Because, mm-hmm. And just kind of like notice it. Just kind of notice it and assess and, you know, see where it is for you. And if you want to move more toward in one direction, then it's a matter of acknowledging and taking the steps towards it. It doesn't all have to happen overnight.
Right. It's a process.
It's a process.
It's a process. It's a process. It's just, we're moving through this.
Yeah. Yeah. So Trudy said some deep points to think about. Thank you, Hollis and Melissa. Thank you, Trudy. And I want to say thank you so much to the listeners who joined us live. Thank you to everybody who's listening, catching the replay. This space is all about inspiring, sharing, and connecting. And just please like, follow, and share so we can just spread the word and we can just get it out there, because we all need more of this connection. So I just wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world, and look forward to talking with everybody again soon. So take care, everybody.
Beautiful. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.